Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
From Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that is awesome. It's really like our worship songs is really geared towards showing you that God loves you, that you've been accepted, and God delights in us, His children. And Paul prayed this prayer quite often, praying that the believers' understanding and their hearts and their eyes might be enlightened, might be open to fully comprehend this love of God. And that is really at Grace Life what we focus on the Word, because in the Word of God, we see His life, we see His love, we see who He is, His nature, and all of that. And I'm super privileged to be with you this morning. I always say this, but I am really, really honored to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. And all of us are, like I shared earlier on, all of us are partakers in the ministry of reconciliation. All of us got this Word, this Word of reconciliation, and you determine whether you share that with people or not. But I want to encourage you to share this love of God with people, and you're going to be transformed in doing so. You're going to see so much life and exhortation in those moments that you do this, because that was what you were created for, to be in a love relationship with the Father and to share that love with people who've never encountered that. So that's super exciting, and that's why I'm honored and privileged to be standing here and to share from God's Word with you this morning. And I really just trust that like this prayer of Paul and these scriptures, that your understanding is going to be enlightened this morning, and that you've I want to create an expectation in your heart as well, an expectation and an excitement to see the fullness of God for you and His kingdom in your life. So on that note, I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Father, just for this opportunity and for this time we're going to be spending together after an awesome time of worship, just declaring your goodness, declaring your love, that we're going to just enjoy your Word now, feast together on your life-giving Word. Thank you, Father, that as we just open up our hearts to receive from you, this time is blessed. You are here with us, just ministering truth to us, ministering your Word to us. And as we receive this seed, Father, just going to come forth and produce a harvest that's just going to bless us so much and the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So today we're starting with a two-part series. I've got the privilege to start the series off, and it's going to be this week and next week. And today we're going to, the title of the series is Fit for the Kingdom. And today we'll be looking at the fact that we are completely fit for the kingdom. And it's really, it was a joy for me to prepare the message and to get into the Word of God, seeing how we are fit for the kingdom, why we fit for the kingdom, and how we can partake in the kingdom. If you've done a little bit of Bible study in your life, or been with us for a while, or even gone through our Bible school, which is a blessing, we're starting a new course this coming week. Someone asked me this morning if there's still space available, and technically there's still space available. Technically, we don't really want to invite any more people to come and join us for that. But by the grace of God, you are still able to come and join us for the course if you let me know. By tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., then we can make space for you and arrange for you to get the notes and all of that. But what I want to just emphasize this morning, if you've done any Bible study or really studied the Word of God, you would have come to the understanding that we interpret Scripture through the Scripture. We allow the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. We don't look at our life experiences and try and interpret the Word of God through life experiences, things that happen to us. Neither do we interpret the Word of God through people with a lot of knowledge, people with a bunch of degrees. Because Paul wrote about knowledge, that knowledge puffs up, but it's love that edifies. It's love that builds us up and takes us further and gets us rooted in what this knowledge is about. So knowledge itself isn't going to do anything for you. but it's knowledge that goes to heart that transforms lives. And with that note, we're going to look at the title of my message, Fit for the Kingdom. And I'm going to go to Mark 1 verse 14 to get right into things. And even though the kingdom is referring to heaven and eternal life in heaven one day, Jesus defined eternal life for us in John 17 verse 3, that this is life eternal, that they might know the only one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So that is eternal life. It's not just one day in heaven, but it's here and now, enjoying fellowship, relationship with God, knowing God intimately. And so also the kingdom is referring to also heaven, but we're going to look at the kingdom means so much more than just heaven one day. Mark verse chapter 1 verse 14 to 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So Jesus, what was he doing? He was preaching. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, he carries on and says, and saying. So what was he saying about the kingdom of God? The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. So Jesus was declaring that the time is fulfilled. What was he referring to? He was referring to him coming to earth to bring the kingdom to earth. To die on the cross for us, and I'm jumping ahead now, to die on the cross for us and make available the kingdom for us. And what is that? Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is what the kingdom of God is about. It's about the gospel. And Shane ministered on this in depth a few weeks ago about repenting and what does repentance mean. And I touched on it a few weeks ago myself, and I went to do my proper study and came to give you the proper illustration this morning with regards to the word repentance and what it means in the Hebrew word. And for the Hebrew, the word repent consists out of five symbols or five Hebrew words. And the words are Taf, Shin, Vav, Bet, and Hai. And if you go and look at the word repentance as it's made out, you read it from the right to the left. And the first word, Taf, means cross. Then the three following symbols, Shin, Vav, and Bet, it means to return. And then the fifth symbol, Hai, means grace. So repentance is literally to look at the gospel, to look at the cross, and see Jesus. So it's not about turning away from something, one way of life, and then turning to another way of life. It's coming to the knowledge of what Jesus has done on the cross, seeing His grace, and because of that mind renewal, you turn from walking to one way to another way. The action, the turn of action, isn't the root of repentance, it's the fruit of repentance. So at the root, it's about seeing Jesus, seeing the kingdom, repent and believe the kingdom. Luke 9, let's go to Luke 9, verse 1 to 2. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So Jesus with the Great Commission, this is part of the Great Commission. He told his disciples to preach the kingdom of God. But in Mark 28 or Mark 16 and Matthew 28, we also see the account of Jesus sending out his disciples. He sent them to preach the gospel and to make disciples. So yeah, Jesus is saying to preach the kingdom of God. Paul also wrote about this in Acts 20, where he says that, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the grace of God. So clearly we can see from Scripture that the kingdom is referring to the gospel of the grace of God. That is what the kingdom is about, the gospel of the grace of God. And so if we look at Matthew 6, which most of us know, it's probably on most of your fridge magnets, Matthew 6 verse 33, seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. That is referring to seeking the gospel of the grace of God. When you seek the gospel, and it's not that the gospel is hidden away from us, the gospel has been revealed perfectly and completely through Jesus Christ. So when we're seeking, and that seeking is not like God is hiding away, Jesus is hiding away from us. It's all here. It's all here in God's Word. Jesus' character, God's character, His nature. And that seeking is really just talking about earnestly desiring to find, to be rooted, to be established in the love of God, in the gospel, in His grace. That is what it's talking about in Matthew 6. So Jesus has been revealed to us. So now that we've looked at the kingdom concept, this kingdom concept being the gospel, being God's grace, we're going to look at the beautiful truth that we are fit for this kingdom. We are fit for His grace. We are accepted. We are completely qualified to enter into this kingdom. So I want to use an illustration for you. Who've you been ever participated or not attended? Who have you competed at the Olympics? Do you have any Olympic athletes here? it's a pity that Jacques Leroux isn't here. He's represented South Africa at the Olympics before for hockey. And if you look at team sports, so with any team sports, in order to go to the Olympics or to qualify to go to the Olympics, you need to reach a certain rank or to make a certain rank of the world rankings. Or if you look at sprinting or throwing something, jumping somewhere, jumping so high, there's a certain standard that is set in order to qualify to enter. Okay? So keep in mind with me, there's a certain standard. Now the question is, what has qualified you to partake and to enter the kingdom of God? What has made you fit to partake of the gospel of the kingdom? It's very easy. One word. Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's that simple. So hopefully, if there were any other thoughts going through your mind with regards to qualifying you, if it wasn't Jesus, then we love you, but you are wrong. So Jesus didn't just qualify you, but He qualified every person, not only you sitting here to want to receive from Him, but every person on the face of the earth has been qualified, has been made fit because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And not only has He qualified you, like we mentioned earlier on, but He's not only qualified you, but He wants you to partake and to share in and to share His kingdom, His gospel, His grace with the people around us. Because we're living in a broken world where people haven't come in contact with this loving Father that we know, the Father of grace, knowing that the kingdom is open for them to receive, to enter. So we need to go and share this with the world. It's almost like another Olympic illustration. If you look at the relay, and it's almost like Jesus handing over us the baton. He's handed us over the baton. He said that all authority has been given to me, so go you now, therefore, preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. You've got my authority. You've got my stamp of qualification. Go you into the world and preach the gospel. And also thing, obviously, about the baton, handing it over to other people. We're not losing the baton. It always keeps reappearing in our hands. Almost, when I was preparing, I was thinking about the movie Click. Yes, it is PG-13, so don't judge me. But the movie Click, he gets fed up with this remote, this universal remote. And he tries to get rid of it, but it keeps reappearing. So be at ease. When you're sharing the gospel, when you're giving it away, it's going to keep reappearing in your hand if you look at it as a baton. So don't worry about that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So our blessing is in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So who of you have been created before the foundation of the world? I'm sure no one here. Great stuff. So before the foundation of the world, before any of you existed, before any of you were even a thought, Jesus chose you. He chose you. He chose you. And this is saying that He chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So some people go all south here and say that, yeah, you, in order to be chosen, you have to be holy and you have to be without blame. No. It's because you are chosen that you get to be holy and without blame. It's because of Jesus' acceptance and qualifying you, you are holy and without blame. Amen. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So this is God's good pleasure. This is the light that He has chosen us. This is His will, that we should be choosing Him. He's made the proposal for us. And then this picture of adoption is so much more than just getting a birth certificate now changed from surname X to surname Y. It's so much more than that. It's talking about a transformation in DNA. When you become born again, you become born again into the family with the DNA. One third of you is wall to wall, 100%, the same as God, the same as Jesus, the same as His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. So don't believe me, believe the word of God. Verse 6 carries on and says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. So as we said, grace is gospel and the kingdom, referring to the same thing. So let's put the word kingdom in here. To the praise of the glory of His kingdom, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. So qualification has been given to you to enter the kingdom through Jesus Christ. You've been accepted for the kingdom. So the question now, how do we enter? How do we enter this kingdom? If we've been qualified, if we've been accepted to enter this kingdom, how do we partake of His grace and His kingdom? How do we enter? So it's not all that complicated. You don't have to think too long about it. But just to simplify it for you, if it's at all complicated in your mind, how do you enter someone's house? How do you enter someone's home? Through the window. No, Darren, that's not how you enter. So generally what you do, if you're a good guest, you enter through the door. But before you can enter through the door, obviously someone has to open up the door for you, right? It's not rocket science. Okay, so you enter through someone's door after the door has been opened up and you've been invited into their house. So if you've qualified, using now the Olympics as an illustration again, if you've qualified to participate in the Olympics, how do you partake? How do you run? Or how do you... You have to pitch up. So you've made the qualification, you have to fly to wherever the Olympics are next, and you have to partake in the Olympics. So just like you enter someone's house, that is the same way that you enter the Olympics. You arrive, and no one forces you to go through that door. No one pushes you, hopefully, through that door. It's not by mistake that you fall through the door by tripping. You choose to enter through that door. You choose to enter when someone has invited you. So all of us have been invited, qualified, made fit, clean to enter the kingdom, to partake of the gospel. All we need to do is take that, receive it. Mark 10 verse 14 to 15, you can go there with me, it says, but when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children not to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? What is it talking about? What is the gospel talking? What is this gospel? This is the gospel. This is the kingdom of God. Verse 15 explains it beautifully for us. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So how does I use this illustration similarly in my previous message, but how does a five-year-old child receive their gift on their fifth birthday? How do they receive it? It's Saturday morning, early, 8 o'clock, mom and dad comes to the child, the boy or girl, and wakes him up. Happy birthday, my son. Happy birthday, my girl. Like, I got you this new bicycle. What five-year-old is going to lie there in bed and like, it's my birthday again. Another gift. Another gift. Just wait a minute. You know what? Why did you really give me this gift? Is there something I need to do this morning? That's the grass needs a cutting this morning. Do you know what? I'm going to think about it. Give me another day or so. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to just go through it through my mind. And then tomorrow morning, I'll choose whether I'm going to receive this gift that you got me. No, man, it's silly. Like, God has given us this kingdom. He's given us His gospel. And what Jesus is saying here, He wants us to receive His kingdom, receive His gospel, enter therein as a child. Not asking questions, boom, getting out of bed, pushing mom and dad away, getting to that bike, jumping on it, and then realizing, I need to probably go say thank you. Going back to say thank you for the gift. That's how God wants us to receive this kingdom, and partake in this kingdom. Just enter therein. And Jesus isn't saying here that the door will be closed unto you, but you in your mind will prevent yourself from entering into the kingdom. Your unbelief, your wrong belief, your stinking thinking will prevent you from having that confidence to enter the kingdom. The door is open. Your unbelief will prevent you from going in. And that's been Satan's plan from the beginning of creation, to deceive us in thinking that we aren't good enough. We aren't good enough. Satan deceived Adam and Eve to think that God was withholding something from them. He wasn't withholding anything from them. He's given them everything. He's given us all things. He's made us in His image. But Satan's always going to try and deceive you to think that God's withholding something from you, or that you're not worthy. But you are worthy and qualified because of Jesus. You are accepted because of Jesus. We are fit for entering this kingdom and to partake of His gospel, of His glorious grace. But I do want to point out the fact that, again, that in our minds, what we believe, how we perceive things, we can prevent ourselves from entering through the door, through our unbelief, through our stinking thinking. Go with me to Mark 10, still in the same chapter, verse 23 to 24, Jesus saying there, "And Jesus looked around about and said unto His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Who of you have got riches here? As I was preparing my message, I was imagining, no one's going to put up their hands. You probably gave all of your giving into the bucket, so that's fine. Amen. I have riches, and I'm trusting for more riches to come towards my way. So let's go on to read what does this actually mean. Verse 24, "And the disciples were astonished," like most of you were astonished right now, "at His words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children." So He is referring to His disciples now as children. We just looked at the fact that God wants us to, as children, enter the kingdom of God. He says, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? So Jesus is just making it clear. It's not about having riches. It's about trusting in your riches. It's about putting your faith and your trust in the riches, in your works, in what you are able to do, rather than in what Jesus has done for you. Like I said, the kingdom of God is open for us all. We just get to enter the end. Further down in Mark, we can go to verse 26. Verse 26 and 27. Again, "They were astonished out of measure." Who of you have ever been astonished out of measure? Imagine this. Astonished out of measure. I don't even know how the disciples' faces had to look. I don't think I've been astonished out of measure. "But they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?" Like, who then can enter into the kingdom? Who then can partake of the gospel of His grace? And Jesus, looking upon them, says, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." So what does that mean? It means that with men it's referring to actions, to the law, to what you can do in your own effort. In your own effort it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. In your own works it is impossible to enter and to partake of the gospel of His grace. But referring and looking to God, through Him it is possible, and only through Him. Ephesians 2 verse 8, all of you know the scripture, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So this grace, this door has been opened, the kingdom has been opened. All you need to do is, through faith, walk through that door and enjoy. If you look at if you didn't know, grace has got an awesome acronym, and it's God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So Jesus paid the price. If you look again at the qualification of entering the Olympics, Jesus paid the price. He ran that time you needed to enter the kingdom or to enter the Olympics. He ran that time. He threw that javelin so far, he broke world records. He made the qualifying distance for you, and He paid the entrance fee. Jesus did it for you so that you can just enjoy it. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. But like I say, said, there are certain things that are going to prevent us in our minds from entering this race with confidence, entering this kingdom with confidence. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Paul writing, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. A few words to just define this word frustrate for us is, it means to counter, to defeat, to block, cancel, obstruct, or disqualify. So put that in the place of frustrate. I do not counter the grace of God. I do not cancel the grace of God. I do not frustrate or disqualify the grace of God by doing what? Looking at my righteousness, my right to enter through the law, my right to enter through the actions. That is how we frustrate, cancel, obstruct, smother the grace of God in our lives when we look at our actions, trying to perform in order to get that entrance into the kingdom, into His gospel. We have the right because of Christ. He's qualified us. He's made us accepted to enter this kingdom, to partake of His love and His gospel. It's only by our thinking and our understanding that we disqualify ourselves to enter His kingdom. And we've got some, hopefully you don't have any friends like these, but some people do have friends that help them with getting disqualified by condemnation and all of that, putting the law on them. So if you've got any friends of them, hopefully you're influencing them and they're not influencing you. Amen. So are we trusting in that self-righteousness in this law and our performance, or are we trusting in Jesus' righteousness and His finished work on the cross? Jesus did a perfect work on the cross. Hence the great words, it is finished, completed. There's nothing we can add to that. A perfect illustration of that is, we always use this as one of Picasso or Michelangelo or Leonardo, one of the Ninja Turtles. One of their, if you know the Ninja Turtles, they're all artists' names, Leonardo and then Donatello. So all of them, if they've got these perfect artworks, these perfect sculptures or things, and you can't add to it. If you add to it, you completely destroy it. Just like that, with Jesus' work, it's completed, it's finished. He's looking unto it, and it is done. There's no adding to that. It's just looking unto it and enjoying it. John 10:10, most of you know, for the thief comes not to only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus saying that I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Awesome verse. Verse 9, I'm going to take you to verse 9. It says that Jesus saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So again, this pasture is talking about this abundance. There's only abundance with God in His kingdom. There's only goodness. But Jesus says, I am the door. Again, Jesus literally says, I am the door. You can enter through me. You can enter through me into this kingdom. Because of me, you can enter in and have complete confidence that you are worthy, accepted, qualified to enjoy and partake in this. This adds on to the parable of the wide and the narrow gate in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read out of the easy to read version, verse 13. You can enter true life only through the narrow gate. The gate to hell is very wide, and there is plenty of room on that road that leads there. Many people go that way. So a lot of people misinterpret the scripture again and saying that, oh man, there's so many people going to hell and there's so few people going to heaven. And I've never done the calculations. I don't know. I've never known all of the people on the face of the earth, so I don't know how the numbers are looking at the moment. But that is not what this is talking about. It's again talking about the simplicity that you can enter true life only through the narrow gate. Jesus just referred to Himself as the door. I am the door. I am the way. There's one way. It's narrow. It's simple. You can't get confused with it. It's just one thing. You just need to do one thing. See Jesus. Receive Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Okay, that was three things, but it's the same thing. It's Jesus. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to read from the ESV and also from the King James Version. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That's the ESV. So the ESV doesn't have the second part to the scripture. Some of your translations might have the second part to it, which is in the King James, which says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So this, touching on the no condemnation, there is no condemnation. Condemnation is being disqualified or unfit. I think it's the Message translation that says, "There is therefore now no condemning evidence," or every bit of condemning evidence against you has been shredded. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who enter the kingdom through Christ Jesus, through His gospel, through His grace." Okay, how am I going to explain away the second part that some of your, it's not wrong Bibles, it's just an addition. The second part to this, the scripture wasn't in the original manuscript, so that's why some translations don't have them in. But it says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So a lot of people go here again go on the tangent that, yes, you have to do good works. See, you have to do good things in order to enter the kingdom, or in order to enjoy the gospel. And like I said, we interpret scripture through scripture. And through all of the scripture that I shared with you, we come down to this one conclusion, and we can interpret this second part like this. Who walk not after the flesh, who do not enter the kingdom after the flesh, who do not try and achieve or earn God's grace after the flesh, but after the Spirit, receiving Jesus, the kingdom, through the Spirit. It's very simple. I don't know how people get it wrong. Okay, let's move on. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law," here again, works of the flesh, the law, "are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" So again, some people trying to live according to the works of the flesh, the law, trying to earn grace from God, but it's impossible. So they're failing every day of their lives. So why not stop failing and see that you have been qualified and receive all of the blessings of your qualification? Verse 11 says, "But that no man is justified, no man is qualified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just," or the qualified, "shall live by faith." So again, seeing that you have been qualified through Jesus Christ, you have been accepted to enter and partake of the kingdom through Jesus Christ. So in closing, we are all fit for the kingdom. We are all fit to partake and to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. The door is standing wide open. We can just enter in. We've been welcomed. We've welcomed. Jesus is standing there welcoming us to just enter in and to enjoy all the blessings. So let's not nullify, abort, or frustrate the grace of God, His love in our lives, but trying to work for it, trying to earn it. Let's just walk in and enjoy the blessings, enjoy the home that God has prepared for us. And yes, good works is good, but let good works not be what you're seeking after. Seek God's kingdom, seek His grace, pursue His grace, His love, see what you have, how you've been qualified, and the work will come as a byproduct, as an overflow. We need to realize what we have in the kingdom. We need to realize what this means for us. As Hosea 4 verse 6 says, that so many people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. And we have this message of reconciliation. You've been touched with it. Hopefully, if you've been with us for a while, if you're new with us, stick around. This message is really going to just transform your life. And we need to share this with the world, because so many people are perishing, are dying, because they don't know that the kingdom is here. It's here for us to enjoy the gospel, God's grace. It's been poured out for us. And as John 8 verse 32 says, we need to know the truth. We need to share the truth with people so they can be set free. So one of the things that are just part of this package deal is, just if we look at salvation, salvation is so much more than just, like I said, eternal life. The kingdom is so much more than just going to heaven one day. But it's healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness. All of that right now, that is our inheritance. That is what we can enjoy. Last week we had an awesome service, an awesome healing service. We had great testimonies. I'd encourage you to get the teaching. It was a two-part series, and it's going to bless you. It's going to minister to you. We need to receive the Word of God. We need to partake in His gospel and see what we have so we can enjoy it, believe it, trust in it. We've been given the authority, like I said, through Jesus. He's given us over that baton. He's given us the authority to do the same works as Him and even greater works than those. And then obviously, all of this is because of love. We've got this complete overflowing love from God our Father. We need to dig into that, how much that love means. We've got so much in God's kingdom, in Christ. We need to just enter and enjoy it. It's almost like an example of a seed. Like a seed in my hand. If I enjoy an apple now and then I'm left over with the seeds. Like I've got the seeds in my hand and those seeds got potential. It's got potential to bear forth fruit. Like not one seed can bear forth a whole tree that produces so much fruit. But that seed in my hand is not going to do anything. And what we so often do is we take that seed, we take the kingdom, the gospel of God's perfect grace, and we go and wrap that seed in glad wrap. We just wrap it. And we kind of just smother the potential of that seed by our works, by our performance, by us feeling, going by our emotions, but going by our experiences, not going by the Word of God, by the truth in His Word, by the promises that He's made us. Let's not get distracted. Let's not get deceived by the enemy thinking that it's by works, it's by performance, it's by emotions. It's only by the Word of God that we get to see the kingdom and get to see the love of the Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.